Peace be with you. What is peace? Where do you go to experience peace? What are the things that you find you need in order to have peace? Is it a particular place that you go to experience serenity, where you can just feel the serenity? Is it something you do or something you don't do? Is there a place in your house? Is there something that you do? You put on music or you do a certain thing in order to try and evoke that peace? Is peace just the absence of something? Is it the absence of noise, the absence of activity, the absence of violence? We talk about peace in the Middle East. Is that all that is necessary? Is that you don't have any war? You have peace when there's no fighting. You have peace when there are no acts of terrorism. And yet, when Jesus today in the Gospel greets the disciples, like he does in each of the accounts of the resurrection, when Jesus appears to the disciples after the resurrection, he always begins by wishing his peace upon the disciples. It's more than wishing, though, and it's more than just the absence of something. The peace, the shalom that Jesus offers to the disciples, is the powerful peace that brings harmony, that establishes in itself the way that the world should be. The shalom of God is what God originally intended for humans to experience, the way that things were meant to be from the beginning, the peace that only Jesus can bring. Jesus, back in the Last Supper, we read it in the 14th and 16th chapters of John's Gospel, Jesus had promised that he would bestow a peace that the world cannot give. And now, after the resurrection, now on this first day of the new week, when Jesus appears to the disciples, he gives them, he creates this peace. Remember that in the Gospel of John, you always have to read it in the light of the creation story, in the light of the book of Genesis. The Gospel evokes that same powerful word of God. Just as in the beginning, when God spoke, it happened. Creation happened. Light came from darkness. The waters above the earth were separated from the waters below the earth. So here, in this day of new creation, when Jesus proclaims this peace to the disciples, then that indeed is what happens. They share in this peace. And how do they share in it? What is the second thing that Jesus does? He points to his wounds. He shows them his hands and his side. He points to the wounds to indicate that the wounds are necessary in order to achieve true peace. The wounds are the essential part of the peace that the world cannot give. Because this is a peace that transforms everything else. This is a peace that can only be found through death. This is a peace that acknowledges the pain of sin. This is a peace that acknowledges the seriousness of sin. Sin has to be dealt with. And Jesus did indeed deal with it on the cross. And the wounds are a sign that this presence of Jesus, this presence of peace, is the fruit of that death. It's the fruit of the new creation that comes about through the resurrection of Jesus. Pope Benedict, in his book, the second part of Jesus of Nazareth, when in the last chapter about the resurrection, he talks about the resurrection in terms of it being a new evolutionary moment in human history, a moment when everything before, all the wonder and beauty of God's original creation, is now made even more perfect. And Jesus is the sign of that perfection. Jesus is the sign of that evolutionary moment in human history when everything is restored and returned and renewed to what God originally intended. But it had been wounded by sin. But now sin has been dealt with. Now death has been dealt with, because death and sin no longer can have control over the life of a Christian, over the life of anyone who walks in the way of the Messiah. And so Jesus stands among this group of fearful and desperate disciples and proclaims to them through locked doors, peace be with you, as he shows them his hands and his side. And just a little note on Jesus coming into the presence. Of course, they'd locked the doors. Of course, they were hiding. They were fearful. They were trembling because they didn't want the same thing that had happened to their Messiah, to the Lord, to happen to them. And so they locked themselves behind these doors. But Jesus comes, perhaps in the same way that when we read in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 12, that when Peter and the other disciples arrived at the gates of the city, they were locked and barred against them. But as they approached the gates, suddenly the gates opened of their own accord. Perhaps it's that same way, that simply the door that was locked opened before the presence of Jesus. It wasn't that he walked through the wall or walked through the door. The door simply opened to allow Jesus to come and to be in their midst, to proclaim this peace into the lives of the disciples. And as he breathes on them, and as he pours out his spirit upon them in a second time, when he says, peace be with you, like at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus commissions the disciples, here at the end of the Gospel of John, Jesus commissions the disciples as well. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Go and do the same. This powerful presence of Jesus is brought into the lives of the disciples. And what are they called to do? What is the mission that these disciples are called to do? To forgive sins. Those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Those whose sins you retained, they are retained. Of course, we've understood this as the creation of the sacrament of reconciliation. This is the place where the disciples, as the prototypes of the priests to be within the church community, are commissioned and empowered to go and forgive sins in the name of Jesus. Not in their own name, but in the name of Jesus himself. Because only God can forgive sins. And so they are empowered to go and do the same. But we need to understand that this power to forgive sins is not limited, is not restricted to the priesthood within the church. This forgiveness, this opportunity to share in the very ministry and mission of Jesus is bestowed upon the whole church. The whole community is called to go and forgive in the name of Jesus. We are called to go and share in this ministry and this power of Jesus. And how do we do it? Because Jesus breathes on them. He bestows not just the gift of peace, but the gift of the Holy Spirit. He pours his grace upon them as well. It's only in the grace and peace of Jesus that we are able to do this. He pours his spirit upon them, again, reminiscent of that beautiful scene in Genesis 2, when the Lord God fashions the Adam out of the Adama, the man out of the dirt of the earth. He creates this little figurine, and then he breathes the life of God into the dirt, and it becomes a living man. So now Jesus breathes his life again. He breathes the spirit into the disciples to empower them, to allow them to be the bearers of this forgiveness. When I was thinking about this during the week and pondering the beatification of Pope John Paul II this day, I was thinking about that moment in John Paul's life when there was the attempted assassination back on Fatima Day, the 13th of May, 1981, when he was there in St. Peter's Square, when Ali Akbar, that gunman, attempted to kill the Pope by shooting him. Of course, it was such a close thing. The Pope collapsed. He lost almost all of the blood from him. It was only through the skilled work of doctors, and as the Pope said, it was only through the hands of the Virgin, that Lady of Fatima, who saved him and preserved him that day. But that wasn't the amazing thing. The amazing thing was months later, at the end of that year, just after Christmas, when Pope John Paul went to the prison cell of Ali Akbar, and he went in and spent those 20 minutes with him, and he embraced him, and he forgave him, and he said afterwards that on that day, Ali Akbar became a brother to him when all was forgiven. Pope John Paul is rightly beatified today because he became a sign of what that reconciliation can be about, that reconciliation that is even able to forgive the person who tried to kill you. This is the peace that the world cannot give. This is the peace that the disciples share in. This is the peace that the Lord shares with all of us today in the church.